Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. With that gavel, I have convened the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development for May 18th, 2015, for possible reconsideration and work session on House Bill 2998A relating to Western Juniper. And Mr. Bender, I'm going to let you set the table for us, and then I have a couple of questions. As this bill has lingered, I think there have been questions about it, and I'd like to at least build a record. So if you would start us off, that would be dandy.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair and Subcommittee members. House Bill 2998A was reported out of the Subcommittee to the full committee on May 6th with a recommendation that the bill do pass with the HB 2998-A4 amendments. As the bill was amended by those amendments, it provided funds to support the harvesting of Western Juniper and the manufacture of products from Western Juniper. There were four activities that were supported in those amendments for a total of $900,000. These activities included $500,000 of lottery funds to OBDD for economic development assistance, business and grants, business loans and grants, $200,000 of lottery funds to OBDD to provide technical assistance to businesses, $100,000 of lottery funds to OBDD for workforce training programs, and $100,000 of general fund to HEC to finance mapping of juniper strands by the Institute for Natural Resources at Portland State University. So that was a total of $900,000 for programs. And in addition, those amendments provided $123,917 of lottery funds to OBDD for costs of administering the new activities. OBDD subsequently reported, however, that they could implement the new programs without additional administrative support funding. Therefore, you are being asked if you vote to reconsider. We do have -A5 amendments that provide the same $900,000 for program support for the same purposes, but that do not include an additional $123,917 to OBDD for administrative support.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions of Mr. Bender? Representative Witt.
Yes. We are being asked by whom for this reconsideration?
We are being asked to reconsider by the co-chairs of Ways and Means.
And follow-up. The basis of that is what?
The basis of that is that additional information is indicated that the lottery funds that were in the amendments that the subcommittee approved, OBDD has indicated that they do not need the funds that were in that amendment for administration of the program. Therefore, the full committee co-chairs have requested that those not be included in any funding recommendation coming from the subcommittee.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Senator Hansel, then Senator Monroe.
Well, I want to applaud my colleague, Representative Whitsitt, because it came out of the questioning that she asked specifically about that and how that seemed to be out of whack with what it may. Took a more extensive review, and we're back now, and I think it's a good move.
Senator Monroe.
Yeah, the measure that we passed out was $900,000 plus the $123,000. But the -5 amendment, I'm looking at it right now, says $800,000.
Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Senator. That is correct. The reason why is the what the -5 amendments do is they change from the going back to the original bill, the A- version, they change the $800,000 from general fund to lottery funds for OBDD. The additional $100,000 for HEC is general fund in the bill, and the amendments are not changing the source of funds, but it's also not deleting that money. So although the amendments don't refer to the HEC 100,000, they would still be in the bill with the if you approve the -A5 amendments.
Thank you.
Okay. Colleagues, Representative Whitson.
Okay. It came to my attention last week that according to Mr. Tim DeBoot of Extension, the OSU Extension, they already have mapped the juniper in the area that one of these mills is located in. And so I'm wondering if there exists already maps of the juniper among these counties so that PSU does not get $100,000 to compile something that someone else has already done and is readily available. What I'm concerned about is that this money goes to Eastern Oregon. It does not go to PSU. It does not go to Sustainable Northwest. It does not go to some level of administration, but it goes into Eastern Oregon, and that's my concern. And so I'm very concerned about what they're going to map since it's already mapped.
Thank you. I think what I'm going to do is to ask the advocates for the project to come forward and answer that question.
Good afternoon.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you. I think that Mr. Bender is telling me that the appropriate protocol here is to entertain the motion for reconsideration and then build the record. And so we've opened the work session. I'm now opening a work session on House Bill 2998A for possible reconsideration. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to allow for a motion to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2998A was reported out to the full committee. Are there any objections? Okay, they're seeing none. The chair will now accept a motion to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2998A was reported out.
Madam Co-Chair, I'd move to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2998A was reported out to the full committee.
Thank you. Colleagues, any objections? They're seeing none. The motion carries, and the bill is back before the full subcommittee. Thank you. Now, if you would introduce yourself for the record and answer Representative Whitsitt's question.
Sure. Co-Chair Johnson, Co-Chair Gomberg, for the record, my name is Dylan Cruz. I'm the Policy Director at Sustainable Northwest in Portland. Representative Whitsitt, to your question about the specific $100,000 for mapping at the Institute for Natural Resources at Portland State University, that recommendation was put forth based off of some existing work that has been done, and INR has done a fair amount of mapping work on juniper across the state. It is not complete. It is not comprehensive, and they have not gone through final stages of that mapping work, which is called vegetation differentiation. When you have mixed conifers, especially in areas where there is higher levels of moisture, you get situations where you'll have juniper growing interspersed with species like ponderosa pine. Yeah. When we come over and we do a satellite snapshot of that landscape, you basically just see tree cover. You see canopy cover. We make our best guesses about what type of species that is, but it's difficult to tell sometimes because the pine grows taller than the juniper. Consequently, some of the highest value, most marketable, and largest junipers that have value for these businesses are those species that grow in these areas of mixed conifer with ponderosa pine. So the vegetation differentiation is an important component that helps us to gain a better understanding of where that juniper is and to begin to cull it out from the other species that are around it. This is a recommendation that was put forth by the university. They said it's necessary to complete doing this work. For the businesses, it provides certainty in terms of identifying prescriptions in critical areas where we can do management. And it also is important for us to understand the spread and the extent of this species so we know where it's at, we're sustainable with our harvesting, and we're making careful choices about where management and prescriptions are being implemented. This is work that benefits not just the businesses, but also the state and also the federal government when they make choices about how to effectively manage juniper. We hear this number thrown around a lot about 6 to 9 million acres out there. A lot of that's because we haven't completed the mapping. We haven't paid enough attention to it. And if we can do this work, hopefully we can begin to hone on it in a more effective way.
Follow up, Representative Whitsitt.
I have a series of questions, if I may.
That's fine.
So have you talked personally to the extension agent Tim DeBoot in Cook County,
yes,
regarding the mapping of juniper, and did he tell you that they have mapped the juniper in the county? Question.
Representative Witsit, specifically about Cook County, I've not spoken with Mr. DeBoot about Cook County specifically, but this would be statewide.
Follow up.
Where are the mills located that are going to be cutting the juniper that we're talking about, and how many acres are they going to cut with their $500,000 or whatever?
Representative Witsit, there are several mills located across the state. There's one located in Hinds and Harney County that harvests from Lake County, Klamath County, and Harney County. There's a mill located in Powell Butte that harvests from the surrounding area there in Crook County as well as Deschutes County. There's a mill located in Wheeler County that also harvests from the surrounding area. There's a startup mill in Klamath County, John Keppinger, who's beginning to mill and harvest juniper from there as well, who'll be working from that county region. We also work with another miller now in Wheeler County, who his name is Earl Mortimer. He makes log cabins and other milled products from that in Wheeler County, once again. And there are a variety of small hobby millers across the state located in places like Prineville and outside of Burns.
Okay. Follow up.
How many acres, with the amount of money in this bill, how much money is going into Eastern Oregon and to each mill?
Yes. Representative Witsit, currently we estimate that approximately 6,000 to 9,000 acres of juniper is utilized by these businesses. If they are able to expand and increase their production based off of the resources used in this bill, we estimate it can get to approximately 12,000 to 15,000 over the next 2 to 3 years.
Follow up.
Okay. So what I'm trying to determine, how much of the $900,000 or $800,000 is going to go to individuals who are going to cut lumber with that, cut trees with that money?
Representative Witsit, approximately $500,000 will be dedicated specifically to the ground from that, and then businesses are able to apply for additional technical assistance, which will be provided to them either by Business Oregon or by a professional service contract. That's $200,000 that will go to the ground. In addition, there is $100,000 in the bill for workforce training, which may also be administered through Business Oregon or through a professional services contract if appropriate. So $800,000 of the $900,000 in House Bill 2998 will be dedicated to the ground, to these businesses, for services that they request or they apply for.
Follow up.
Will any businesses outside of Eastern Oregon be taking money out of this $800,000 as a administrative cost?
Representative Witsit, I can't comment on that because Business Oregon will be administering the funds in the program. Under the $500,000, those businesses will apply for those funds. They will go directly to the ground. For the other $200,000 for technical and business assistance and the $100,000 for workforce training, that will either go to Business Oregon or it will go to a professional service contract. That will be based on an RFP that is sent out by the agency. It could go to a contractor in Eastern Oregon. It could go to a contractor in Western Oregon. That will be a competitive process that will be determined by the agency, so we can't make a decision on that at this time.
Let's ask Business Oregon to come up. There may be questions. Representative Witsit.
How many jobs per year, full-time jobs, are we going to see out of this bill in Eastern Oregon?
Representative Witsit, I can't give you a firm number on that. What we have are business plans available from these businesses as they're coming forward. As they're applying for funds from this, they will determine how many potential jobs that they could create with it based on that, and that criteria will be used by Business Oregon in the decision about how those funds are awarded. I cannot provide a firm number as it's proprietary information at the private businesses. I can give you a rough estimate, but I can't guarantee it, and it's not something I put on the record in the event that there were more jobs that could be created or fewer jobs. But that's up to the private business about what their plan is and how much they can expand.
Mr. Chummer, would you be willing to comment on this? I think something that Mr. Cruz just said that alarmed me is hobby farmers, and I would like to know the criteria. I don't mind having state funds appropriated for real job creation, but the hobby farmers was a little off, or hobby millers was a little off-putting. Can you talk a bit about what are going to constitute grants, what are going to constitute loans, what's the level of detail that you need in business plans, will there be job creation requirements attached to the expenditure of funds?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, e-vote trauma, Legislative Affairs for Business Oregon. Generally speaking, when we look at loans, Madam Chair, or members of the committee, we do an underwriting process, and I can't speak in great detail to the underwriting process that entails. These are the beady-eyed bankers, as you lovingly call them sometimes, in our department.
With affection.
With affection, for the record. Thank you. But basically, folks would look at the business plan and the books, really, is what it comes down to. The books, employment, data associated, and income and expenditures. I would, for the record, say hobbyist millers are probably, definitely not folks that will either see a loan or a grant from us, but real businesses. As I read the bill, and I think how it was likely intended by the proponents of the bill, most of the money will likely be spent in Eastern Oregon, or all of the money is probably the intent here. Whether it's a loan or a grant or a forgivable loan will depend on the economic situation of the individual company. I can't speak to that, and I could only speculate what that would entail then.
Thank you. Okay, Representative Witt, then Co-Chair Gomberg, then Representative Witsit.
Actually, Madam Co-Chair, if I could, in answer to a question that Representative Witsit raised, it seems to me in our previous testimony we heard that the target number of new jobs was going to be less than 20. Mr. Bender, is that your memory of what we had there?
That was my memory, yes.
Yeah, I think 12 or something like
between
that.
12 and 20 is what I recall of the testimony.
Okay. Representative Witt.
Could you just restate for us again the problem that Juniper presents and what you're trying to accomplish with these grants and loans?
Yes, happy to. Co-Chairs, Representative Witt. The problem is that Juniper has expanded significantly beyond its historical range. It's causing significant environmental degradation to the landscapes of Eastern Oregon. It's consuming approximately 30 to 35 gallons of water per tree per day, and it's increasing on sage-grouse habitat, which is a candidate for listing under the Endangered Species Act. It's fairly well known within the scientific community that removing invasive juniper is one of the most important things we can do to improve sage-grouse habitat, increase water table supply, and make sure that we have a viable ranching and farming economy in Eastern Oregon. This has integrated benefits. For a landowner or for the federal government to be treating juniper, it entails a series of processes. Not only do they have to cut the juniper, but they have to do something with it. If you leave it lying on the landscape, it's a tough species, it's a tough tree, it will lay there and bake in the sun for over 100 years, and the native grasses and vegetation will not come back. Or you can chop it, lop it up, and scatter it. Or you can burn it. All of these things have additional costs associated with them and some social concerns, especially when we're talking about prescribed burning. What these businesses do is they come in and they take away trees that have been felled at no cost to the landowners and the federal government. They remove it from these landscapes. They complete the environmental prescriptions, and they're creating additional jobs and added value wood products, which are sold into the green building market in the Portland metro area. It is a small market currently. It is a small number of businesses currently. There is tremendous growth opportunities. I challenge most folks when we talk about this to tell us, had you heard about juniper a year ago, or two years ago? We are seeing a significant increase in juniper sales as a result of this work, because we're talking about it, because we're raising awareness and letting people know they can buy these products and that they have added value. They're supporting an economy in rural Oregon, and they're adding value in reducing the cost of management while improving environmental health, improving water quality and quantity, and species habitat. So it's an integrated issue. It's something that cattlemen support, something that rural counties support, commissioners, environmental groups, the scientific community, and the green building businesses in the Portland metro area. It's an excellent opportunity for Eastern Oregon and for the state as a whole.
Follow-up, Representative Witt.
Does the conversion of juniper into lumber, is that more costly than typical tree species?
The conversion of juniper into lumber depends on what they're making. It's not necessarily more costly than a typical tree species. They're also making products that differ, right? We're not making 2x4s necessarily that you're going to use for framing lumber. But as far as the uses that we have for decking, for fencing, for post and pole, for landscaping timbers and garden beds, it's very cost competitive with imported Canadian cedar and tropical hardwoods. It's organic, it doesn't need to be treated, and it's supporting a local economy. So yes, the price points are very similar for juniper.
Thank you.
Representative Witsit.
Oh,
I'm sorry. All right, colleagues, any other questions? I think just for emphasis, Mr. Tremmer, one of the things that we're, both of you actually, we're trying to get to is what is the administrative rake-off at every level going to be? And I think by the withdrawal of the fiscal, you're going to absorb the costs out of current program. And I don't know what kind of administrative fees Sustainable Northwest are going to charge.
Co-Chair Johnson and Representative Whitsitt, I'll make a commitment to you right now. Sustainable Northwest will not request any funds from House Bill 2998. We will not receive any of these funds. These funds will go to the ground, and they will go to the organizations and the agencies that are specifically listed in this bill. I'm happy to commit to this. From day one, our organization has been committed to making sure we're supporting people on the ground in Eastern Oregon. That's our mission. I'm happy to stick to that.
Okay. Colleagues, with that, any other questions? The bill is House Bill 2998A is once again before the committee, and I think that we will now be entertaining a motion to adopt the Dash 5 amendments. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. The Dash 5 amendments, and the chair would entertain such a motion.
Madam Co-Chair, I'd move we adopt the Dash 5 amendments.
Colleagues, you have heard Co-Chair Gomberg's motion. Are there any questions, any discussion, any objections? They're hearing none. The Dash 5 amendments are adopted into 2998. Okay, now we need a motion to go to full.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move House Bill 2998A as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Gomberg has moved House Bill 2998A to the full committee on Ways and Means, as amended, to the full committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And we now need carriers, and we had had carriers assigned previously.
Do you remember who that was? Because Representative Reed and I, there were two Juniper bills. He was carrying one. I was carrying the other.
Yes, I do have that.
And if I was carrying this one, I'd volunteer to do it again.
The carriers that had been designated for this bill were Senator yourself to the full committee, Senator Hansel, and to the Senate, and Representative Reed to the House.
And if you gentlemen agree, those will be the carriers then, full House and Senate. All right, so I'm now going to close the work session on HB 2998A and ask Mr. Bender, any other business to come before the committee today?
No, there is none.
Any comment about activities for the remainder of the week?
For the remainder of the week, tomorrow you have a bill scheduled for public hearing. That bill allows or establishes an alternative to written examination for obtaining a license as a professional landscape contractor.
Thank you. Colleagues, anything for the good of the order?
Was there a meeting on Wednesday, Madam Chair? I think I heard some uncertainty about that.
No. We do not. At this point, we do not have a meeting on Wednesday. We may have a meeting on Thursday, but we don't know yet.
Thank Coming you. To an email near you. Representative Whitson.
I would just like to thank everybody on the committee and the people who testified for getting everything lined out and cleared up, and it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Colleagues, on that cheery note, I'm not going to ask for any more questions. We're adjourned.
Good choice.
Can I ask for any more questions? We're adjourned.
Good choice.